That was fun. I was talking with one of our former Kirk singers on Friday night, and we were reflecting on what a good time we were having. And they said, you know, we don't need to wait, you know, another 50 years to do this again. I said, you're right. We do this every Sunday. And so we would love to see you. But it has been a great weekend and a celebration of God's ministry here in Fort Lauderdale through the Kirk Singers, and it's been because of the involvement of so many, and so many have contributed to making this weekend a success, and so we are so grateful for all of those people that contributed to make this happen. And it's been a time to reflect. I'm guessing that you all have been telling stories of your time together, and perhaps surprised as I was at the emotional depth that is there, for no reason that I can clearly articulate. As we rehearsed yesterday, I just began crying as we sang Misty Morning together. I am grateful for the time that I spent in our music ministry, our children's choirs, chapel singers, Kirk Singers. It's where I met some of my closest friends, and my wife, Amy, and I met as Kirk Singers as well. And I remember being involved in these musicals, and there is so much buildup to the performance. In our final performance this afternoon, our students are getting ready. We poured ourselves into these productions, but as with all things of this nature, and perhaps it's not until reflecting back on the experience later, you realize there was so much more going on than simply putting on a show, right? We were being formed, not only in the opportunities that we were given to perform in front of people, as Commissioner Sturman pointed out, but in the ways that we were learning to produce something that was bigger than ourselves, and the time that we spent together in the spaces in between doing the work. When we learned to walk through life with others, where we learned what it meant to be in real relationship, to support one another, to do life together, to be church. And Paul, in our text today, is writing into a community that's discovering this very thing. What does it look like, and what does it mean to be church? And so I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to this early church in Ephesus. And he writes to them words of encouragement, but he does it in a curious way, and I'd like you to pay attention for that. Beginning in chapter 2, at verse 1, Paul writes, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, just like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul begins his encouragement of this early church by reminding them just how broken they are. Something that we do together as a church as we begin worship each and every week. Chandler this morning led us through our corporate prayer of confession. And we do this each week, reminding ourselves that we fall short. And I've mentioned before that we don't do this as some sort of ill-conceived self-flagellation, some kind of punishment in which we hope to wallow in our own shame. No. We do this as a reminder that we are united in not getting it right. We come together and we confess, reminding ourselves that regardless of how good we are at covering it up, at looking just right as we walk in here, that none of us has any reason to boast. And my guess is that I probably don't need to go much further than reminding us that we all fall short. But I'm going to. This past week, the president addressed both houses of Congress on Thursday night in the annual State of the Union address. And in advance of that, Pew Research released some data collected in surveying Americans regarding what issues were top of mind, what were those concerns most present in people's minds. And some of those things that were named were the war in Israel and Gaza, the war in Ukraine, our diplomatic relations with China, and immigration, just to name a few. You know, and in reading their report, I realized just how obvious it is that our world is broken. And I think it's easy, if we're not careful, to allow the suffering of the world to overwhelm us, right? And for some of us, it does. And then others of us choose to put it out of mind, to ignore it. And I can understand that approach as well. But what Paul would have us ask, is what part do each of us play in the suffering of the world? I read a story not long ago about the number of people that were immigrating to the United States from South American countries. And many of them are walking. This has been well documented. And to do so, they must traverse a treacherous span of jungle that's known as the Darien Gap. The Darien Gap is made up of dense rainforest, steep mountain slopes and swamps. It spans more than 60 miles, and it is the only land route from South America up to Central America. In 2022, a record number of people crossed this gap. 250,000 people walked these 60 miles. In 2023, that number doubled to more than 500,000 people, elderly, children. And these are people coming from all over the world. Yes, some from South American countries like Venezuela and Ecuador, but also people flying to South America from China, from India, to then find a way here. Something I found, I'm still not quite sure what the right word is to describe it. People pay money to a drug cartel for the right to cross this land. It is controlled by Colombian drug cartels. And so the people who pay for the right to try and make this hike, they're given pink wristbands, like those wristbands so many of our spring breakers will have on this week. This pass to try and make this treacherous, torturous hike. And in this season, we are each invited to ask, how are we complicit in this? In a world that is ever more connected, how are we complicit in the systems of injustice that contribute to situations where people are willing to risk so significantly because their situations are so terrible? We're invited to ask, how are we complicit in the ways that our food ends up on our tables? How are we complicit in the ways that the clothing we have on our back is manufactured? How are we complicit in how things are manufactured in countries where working conditions are far from what we could consider humane? How are we complicit? This is the hard work that Paul would have us do. And it is bleak, hard, soul-crushing kind of work. But that's what we do in Lent. We ask these hard questions, not only how we're complicit in these systems in the world, but also how are we in our own lives separating ourselves from God? What are those relationships that are keeping us from God? What are those habits, those ways of being? It's hard work. There's a window in the kitchen of our house, and it faces due east. And every morning, right about the time that I want to get out of the house and I'm cleaning up the kitchen after breakfast, the sunlight breaks through that window and illumines what I had previously thought clean, all of the dirt and dust on top of that glass stovetop. When we begin examining our own lives, even those places that we have previously considered clean, we are reminded that there is still work to be done. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and it's a Sunday that the church has traditionally referred to as Lectare Sunday. It's a Sunday when the church has traditionally lifted its eyes up from this hard work of introspection that we've been doing. That Latin word, it literally means rejoice. This fourth Sunday in Lent is one in which we pause in the midst of all of this to rejoice with regards to what God has done, is doing, and will do in our midst because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've shared a number of times that I enjoy running. It's still a sentence I can't believe I'm saying out loud. But I find that no matter how long I exercise and continue this habit, there's still a voice inside my head that says, stop it. You're not running from a bear. Stop it. And it doesn't seem to matter, you know, how long I do it, that voice, even as it gets quiet, is still there. And one of the tricks that I have found helpful when running is to find a point at the top of a distant building to get my eyes up off of the horizon so I am no longer aware of the pain of each step in making progress, but rather focus my vision up. That's what we have the opportunity to do this Sunday, to lift our gaze even in the midst of doing the hard work, to know that we are headed through Holy Week, through Calvary, and to the resurrection. We are reminded that day is coming in spite of our struggles and irrespective of any of our success. And that's what Paul says to the early church. He reminds them of their brokenness. He reminds them that they don't get it right all the time. And in the midst of doing that, he says, But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This should be called the great But God. Because even as you were in sin, but God. Even as you struggled in situations not of your own making, but God. Even as you struggled in situations you did cause, but God. In the midst of the cancer diagnosis, but God. In the midst of struggling with whatever you are struggling with, in the midst of broken relationship, but God. In the midst of being complicit in systems of injustice here in our world, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. But God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.